What do you do when your marriage, come on, let's ask it again. What do you do when your marriage is failing? Now, this is such a large topic, talk about marriage. And I just want to tackle it with some just practical tips, okay? There's a lot we could talk about. This will just be in way of reminder for many of us, but I want us to think about them. So the first thing I would say is, what do we do when we're struggling in our marriage? Number one, now get ready, you're going to say, Dr. Whitlow, that is so deep. Thank you for studying so hard to bring us this brilliant message. You ready? Number one, get help. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm so glad you came to church. Number one, get help. Now, you might be sitting there, how in the world do I get help? Let me just congratulate everyone for being in church on a holiday weekend, because this is the first and free, everyone say amen. It's just free, free step in getting help. What are you talking about? I'm talking about, so in your notes there, how do you get help? The very first step and fundamental step in getting help is genuinely participating in God's house. That's why I'm saying thank you for being here. Genuinely participating. Say those words with me. Genuinely participating in God's house will make an impact on every on our marriages. Now, genuine participation. What are you talking about, Pastor Charlie? I'm not talking about making church peripheral or one of your extracurricular activities that we go to if it fits into the schedule. No. What we're talking about here is making church a centerpiece, a habit of my life. It means that all other events and activities circle around this core habit of my life. I have a house, and God has a house. My dad raised me this way. Son, if you take care of God's house, He will take care of your house. So right away, we have a decision to make. Are you going to get help? Now, we're not talking about the once a month. We're not talking about the two or three times a year. We're talking about a genuine, regular participation. Pastor, what's that look like? Well, if there's 52 Sundays a year, I'm talking about at a minimum 45 times I'm in God's house leaning in to everything that He has for me. Ecclesiastes 4:12. If it's up there, I want you to read the scripture with me. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Now, this next phrase, I want you to think about it. There are three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Now, what I want you to see there is a husband and wife relationship, wonderful. But if a husband and wife relationship will also add in the church to that relationship, all of a sudden it becomes something that's going to be very hard to break apart. Now, this isn't just something that Scripture teaches. This is something that every data point that researchers research show that couples who regularly, there's the genuine, I'm not just coming in and going out and I see that, no, but this is a core habit of our life. Couples who worship regularly together every single time, hands down, have a greater chance of success and happiness in their marriage. In fact, they say that over three out of four marriages claim to be extremely happy when they are regularly worshiping together. The exact percentage is 78% of couples who will just make this one decision. I'm not going to live my marriage from a position of weakness, but I'm going to make God's house a regular routine, a centerpiece, a value in our relationship. ship. You know, I was just reminded, talking to a couple. They got a little 2-year-old, and I said, well, great, good to see you guys. I just joined Team Orange. Tell me about yourself. I said, how'd you get here? Why are you coming? They said, well, we looked at each other, and we realized that since our son's been born, our whole life has revolved around him. It's just all about him. I mean, he sits between us, and we're looking at him. We're taking pictures of him, and it's like, when are we ever going to have time for us? So we thought, what are we going to do? He said, well, we can, they said, we can join a gym, or we can go to church. I loved it because they were just being honest. And he said, so we researched it, and joining a gym costs like $200 a month. So we decided to come to church. And it's, I'm serious. They were just talking like that. And it's great. We get to check him in downstairs, and we come up and get a cup of coffee, and we come into the church together. Now listen, what a difference it's making in our lives. Now think about that. It could be a gym membership. But what's a gym membership compared to a partnership with God and his family? So I have a decision to make. Do I really want to get help? Now, it's interesting. Now, this is a whole nother sermon. You probably have reasons, and you can come up and tell me why. But they say, research shows that that if the husband and wife come together and worship together, wow, it just skyrockets the success rate and the happiness rate in the relationship. But they also observe that if the man, the husband, comes to church without the wife, he's just coming on his own, that it still stays at 78% happiness in their relationship. But if the wife comes by herself, it completely drops off. Come on, men. Come on, guys. Talking about saving our marriages. Regular. Lord, so I have a decision to make right now. Some of you, this could be a turning point right now. I'm not asking you to raise your hand in prayer. I'm asking you to change your schedule. And watch how it impacts your relationships. Over the long haul. Not a quick decision, but Lord, I'm just going to plant myself in your house. How do I do that? Here's 3 suggestions in your notes. Now, Morgan McCall, this is a study now that's just taken for granted. And his Center for Creative Leadership, they developed a ratio for positive transformation in a person's life. How does it take place? You ready for this? If it's not in your notes, I want you to write this down. It's the 70-20-10 ratio for positive change in your life. How does that happen? Here's the ratio. 10% is teaching. Information. Someone standing up and giving you the information. 10%. 20% is right relationships. You want positive transformation in your life, in your marriage, in your situation. 10% is information, teaching. 20% right relationships, and 70% is what? Anybody? Practice. Actually doing it. 70% actually doing it yourself. Even if you fall down, you mess up, but actually trying to do it. So if I want to create positive change, I don't know how I feel about this, but I play a very small part. What percent? Come on, help me out. 10%. You sitting here, that's 10% of the ball game. It's a very important part. You don't have it without, you need the 10%. You got to get the information, so that's wonderful, but we haven't even started the ball game yet. So here's 3 suggestions. And we talk about really leveraging the church, really making genuine church participation make an impact in my life. Are you ready? This is going to be so profound. Get ready. You're going to be like, oh my gosh, so deep. How do I do this? You ready? Number 1, take notes on Sunday. Some of you are just still staring at me. I'm literally, take notes on Sunday, every single Sunday. I'd be compiling the things that I'm learning and that the Lord is saying to me. Do you know that those who come here regularly, you know that rarely will a Sunday go by without me challenging us to do something. There's an action step to it. It's not just here, 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 la, 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 here, here. Scripture over and over says it's not those who hear who are blessed. It's those who hear and put into practice. Oh, the Creative Center for Leadership found out that 70% of it is going to be whether or not we put it into practice. Look at James 1 and 22. Do not merely listen to what? The word. Come on, let's try it again. If it's up there, read it with me. Do not merely listen to the word and deceive. Some of you are sitting here saying, well, I haven't seen any transformation yet, and I've been sitting in this church for 5 years. Rob, I came 2 Sundays and nothing's happened yet. And if, honestly, I'm, come on. Could it be you're deceiving yourself? Your own self. Deception is so tricky because how do you see it? It's simply not hearing. That's an important part, a very, very small part. Could it be that God's watching, sitting, he watches you leaning in, and maybe you're taking a note on something, and he says, that's the very first step in taking action on it. That son or daughter of mine really wants, has a heart to do something about what they're hearing. Look what the scripture says. Do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Read with me. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word and continues in it, here's the key phrase, not forgetting what. That's why note taking is so important. Every study says you're going to forget about it unless you write it down. Not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, that's the person who will be what? Oh, there it is. Pastor Charlie, what are you trying to do? I want us to be blessed. So, 10% information. That's wonderful. What was that next 20% again? Right relationships. Do you know this church? We work so hard that you not just come to big church, but that you find providential relationships. The right relationships in our lives. So this is super practical. How about number two, a suggestion for being a genuine part of God's house? Maybe get in a connect group. A group, especially. Do you know we have all kinds of marriage groups? All kinds of marriage groups. Immediately after the service, run out the doors and go to guest services and say, I want to see all the groups for marriage. Look at all of them and maybe find yourselves around some people who are also wanting to build marriages that last. Galatians 6, 2 and 3, share each other's what? Come on, say it with me. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. Well, I don't need that. Okay. You don't need help. How's that working out for you? And always, always what a church is about is you can always talk to a shepherd. Always talk to a pastor, a ministry leader, and reach out. So just the idea of, okay, let me just stop. There is help. I can get help. By the way, you can get help. It's available. But you don't have to have what you can have. That went way over your head. Let's go on. Number two, This is just being very practical. Get help. Number two, stop trying to fix, correct, or change your spouse and put 100% of your energy, the energy that you're focusing on the other person, put 100% of the energy, work, and effort on yourself, on ourselves. Now, if you're sitting there and you're saying, "Oh, I hear that, Pastor Charlie, but I'm not really the one with the issues. It's my husband that's got the real issues." Then I'm just going to suggest, if that's you, and I know we can have that in our heart. We'd never say it out loud, but subtly, if she would fix this and this, this thing would be all right. If you're subtly thinking that, let me suggest you just identified a big issue in the marriage. Self-righteousness in any relationship is deadly. In the scriptures, to be taken seriously, it says there's no one who is all right. No, not one. Yeah, but he, okay. But let's look at you. Yeah, but yes. Let's go to Jesus on some, how would you like to go to Jesus for some marital counseling? You ready? Let's do it. Let's go to Jesus and just read what he says. Now, everywhere in this remark of Jesus where it's talking about a friend or another person, I inserted the word spouse, okay? So, Jesus, we're coming into your office and we're going to sit on the couch. Here we are. Let's read it together. This is Matthew 7, 1 and 5. Do not judge your spouse, and you will not be judged. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which... Now just stop there. Now hold on, Jesus. As you adjust yourself in a comfy couch. Now wait a second. She did this and this, and she's wrong. He did this and this. Okay. And I see Jesus saying, are you sure that's the standard you want to hold everybody? Because I know some stuff about you. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. Look at verse 3. As Jesus just begins to probe. Why worry about a speck in your... Why are you so jacked up, frustrated, and angry about the speck in your spouse's eye when you got a log hanging out your own eye? It consumes you. You're so angry. You're so twisted and uptight because you've been focusing on someone else's issues. There's something happens when we take our eyes off of someone else's faults. Some of us haven't done this in a while, so we think we're so have it all together. Really? Really? Because last time I checked, we all, including Pastor Charlie, we all have issues, hurts, habits, insecurities, things we're working on. Jesus says, why worry? Why are you so frustrated with the speck in your spouse's eye when you have a log in your own? Let's keep going. Verse 4. How can you think of saying to your spouse, think about this. Where did you even get off in correcting? When did that start happening? You didn't correct him or her when you were going out and dating, and you weren't all busy about trying to fix him or fix her. What's changed? What's changed in this relationship? How can you even think of saying to your spouse, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Now, folks, let me just say this, married, that's real. What are you talking about, Pastor Charlie? What's real? Some of us, it's real. We can't see the log in our own eye. We honestly, you're sitting there going, I don't have one. I don't have that many issues. And there's the problem. There's the problem. You're thinking, so-and-so, she or he has the real issues. Jesus says, verse 5, keep reading with me, hypocrite. First get rid of the log. Everyone say first. This will always be the priority in healthy relationships. It will always be self. I'm not looking at critical. I'm not looking judgmental. I'm not looking to fix the other person. Jesus is a fixer. And he's got enough fixing to do on me. First, get rid of your own stuff. Then you will see well enough. Then you will see, listen, here's what really happens. Then you will see clear enough and well enough that all of a sudden that speck in your spouse's eye is not such a big deal anymore. God's forgiven me so much stuff, and I can forgive the other person. So if we genuinely give ourselves to discovering, that's important, discovering, and working on our own junk, all of a sudden our spouse's junk won't look so bad. Here's a thing in your notes, a secret. Just want to remind us. You already know it. You have more influence in this relationship than you know. More influence. As you start going in the right direction, just watch what happens in the family and how it's impacted. As you start going in the right direction. I'm so thankful that my wife Jill's here. Honey, I'm so thankful that you're not a, and I say this, I told you this week, that you're not a judgmental, critical. I can't imagine living under a critical eye, constantly nagging. She has every right to, she could. I've got stuff. Trust me, she could tell you. Go see her after service. Tell me the stuff. I've got stuff. But do you know usually positive change and growth doesn't happen in an atmosphere of negativity and criticalness and judgmentalism? Sorry. Try that all you want. See how it works out in a relationship. Maybe, I remember you have influence. You have influence just by you, yes, you. Don't worry about anybody else. You going in the right direction. Positive direction, transforming direction, getting your stuff, becoming the person that you want your spouse to become. Lord, help me to become that person in Jesus' name. I could give you so many examples of just going in the right direction. I remember Jill several years ago started exercise, started going to this boot camp. And, she never once came to me and kind of just poked me in my stomach. And it wiggles now. I did the first service. Looks a lot better when I do that, doesn't it? But seriously, she never once, she could have. Putting on the LBs, aren't you, honey? Man, I gotta stop feeding you so much. Woo! Can't wear winter clothes at the beach, honey. Eventually, you're going to have to take the shirt off. I mean, really. Nag. Critical. This. But just her working on herself. Kid you not, like a year and a half. A year and a half. Everyone say a year and a half. That's a long time. That's not a month. I've been doing my thing, and you are not fixed up yet. I've been doing it for a month. I went to church two Sundays. No. A year and a half later, I remember going to her and saying, honey, so what's that thing you go to? What are you doing over there? Well, I've been, you know, we're working out, and I see you've been jogging. I guess it's been 3 years ago, this guy, me, who've never run, I've never run in my life. I ran a marathon. You know what that is? Some of you guys are into, that's 26 miles. That would never, never, and it will never happen again, I don't think. I don't think it will, but it was a bucket list. But I want you to see the influence, the positive, you have more influence than you know or you're aware. I'm just reminding you of it. When you make a decision down inside, okay, as for me, I'm walking this direction. And the benefits of that, the family and the marriage and relationship will experience the benefit of that. Can I be honest? It's surprising at all. I'm just being honest. It's surprising at all that marriages even last. Because when you bring, and we marry people all the time, I marry people, when you bring two broken, insecure, you know what the scripture calls it? Calls us? Us. Sinners. Some of you are still struggling. I'm not a sinner. Yeah, I know. Yeah, we got a lot of work to do. So when we bring two sinners together in the covenant of marriage, I'm astounded that any of them last. And if they do, we have to back up and go, my, what happened in that marriage that they were able to last? And I'm going to suggest to you, whether they're able to articulate it or not, if that marriage lasts, it's because it has in it the principles of the good news. It resembles the gospel. The scripture teaches that marriage, in fact, is a replica or model of the gospel. What is that? Christ's love for his church. He loved his church so much that he gave up his life for her. And so the scripture says, husbands, in this way, so love your wives. And wives, in this way, so love your husbands. And let there be mutual submission and mutual forgiveness of one another. You see, a healthy marriage reflects and models that love of God that he has for us. So let's look at it. Colossians 3:13. Read it with me. Make allowance for each other's what? Faults. This is the gospel, or in other words, good news. God's been patient with us. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who what? Offends you. Remember, this is key. This is the source of me being able to forgive somebody who's driving me crazy. You ready? Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you what? You also must forgive. Let's put the word spouse in there. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive what? Now, folks, this is a mystery. It's almost a miracle. It is a miracle. How does that miracle take place? When I realize how much God's forgiven me and continues to forgive me, then it causes me to have grace to the other sinner who's a sinner just like me, and I can give grace. God says, the same way I forgave you, it's always free, and I forgive you. Even the stuff you're ashamed of, you haven't told him, I forgive you. I want you to extend the same grace to your spouse and forgive them. Listen, I want to ask the couples in here and anybody in a relationship or a friendship, but specifically the marriages, when is the last time you genuinely asked your spouse to forgive you? I'm just wondering, out loud how many marriages there are where you're living together, you're raising kids together, you're doing life together, and yet in the relationship, there's still, if you're honest, there's hurt, bitterness, a brokenness, a wound. Maybe it wasn't a big thing. Maybe it was just undealt with. This happens a lot of times. Undealt with little things over and over again. And we just sweep them under the rug and we get busy with the kids and life and so forth and so on. And so then there's unresolved issues in the relationship. There's unforgiveness. Oh, it's no big deal. I beg to differ with you. It's a big deal. I remember a couple weeks ago, we were home, and I don't know what we were talking about. Jill and I were talking about, but we were talking about the church and a struggle we were having, or issue. And my wife just very innocently said, well, Josh and Crystal at Heights Church, and I forget everything else she said after that. Because as soon as she said Josh and Crystal at Heights Church, now for those that don't know, Josh is my brother, Crystal my sweet, loving sister-in-law, and they were pastors here under me, and we raised them up and sent them to plant a church in Richmond. They're 3 years old, doing a fabulous job. Anyway, back to our kitchen. Some of you are entering our kitchen. And we're talking, and she says, well, Josh and Crystal, very innocently, Josh and Crystal at Heights Church. And I said, Josh and Crystal I lost it. At Heights Church? Oh, I know what we should do. I'll go to work Monday morning, and I'll rent a bus and pile all the staff up, including myself, in a bus, and we'll drive down to Richmond, and we'll sit down and have Josh and Crystal teach us how to do church. And she looked at me, and she said, honey, where did that come from? I wasn't even saying it. I was just trying to, and I was like, I forget what I said after that. But that's how the fight got started, okay? Now, we fast forward the next day. We're getting the kids ready, getting all the lunches, getting them out the door. And I know, listen, at this moment, and this happens every single day in marriages, sometimes every week and then year. I can't imagine letting this stuff build up and not dealing with it. But I knew in my heart, listen, this is where the Spirit of God speaks to His children. You say, Pastor Charlie, I don't know what you're talking about. You've probably felt it in this house before when God's nudging on you, speaking to your conscience. The scripture calls it conviction. And listen, when God speaks, it's always for your benefit. Not trying to hurt you. He's whispering to you. And if you listen to Him, on the other side of that is blessing. Please listen to me. Don't ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Don't leave today if He speaks to you without responding, because there's blessing on the other side of it. But anyways, I knew in my heart, and I talked to my wife roughly. And it was, you know, it's no big deal. You have arguments all the time, so just forget about it. No. We'll forget about it. So I remember saying, honey, she said, yeah. And I don't know why it's so hard for us guys sometimes to get out the words. And I'm like, babe, she's like, yeah. I'm like, I'm trying here. We got to get the kids, you know. I said, well, any guy relate to that? You just, it's like, come out of my mouth, words. I said, do you remember when you mentioned, you know, what Heights Church and Josh and Chris? She's like, yeah. I said, look, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have responded that way. Will you forgive me? This is critical. She said, well, that hurt. I was just trying to, I didn't mean anything, but I was just trying to help you. And she went on, I go, I get it. Now that my calmed down, it made sense. And I know you're for me, and I just want to let you know, I'm sorry. You say, what's the big deal about that? The big deal is not only our relationship, but it's our relationship with God. That's a big deal. Because God doesn't see a married couple as two. He sees them as one. And if there is a break and unresolved and there's tension in this relationship, listen to me. Count on it. There's tension and hindering and a stoppage in this relationship. Look what Peter said in 1 Peter 3 and 1 and 7. He said, wives, acknowledge the authority of your husbands before you start beating your chest like Tarzan. Every time, husbands, every time anything is mentioned about roles and stuff, it's always mutual. There's mutual submission in a marriage, mutual honor, mutual respect. No one's higher, no one's lower, no one's better, no one's... Husbands, give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner. Wow. Treat her as you should. This next phrase is powerful. Read it with me. So you're what? What's the big deal about this forgiveness? Oh, it's a big deal. The reason why some of us haven't been able to move past something or have that prayer really get real traction is because I'm just going to suggest maybe there's something going on in our relationship. Here's the insight. God cannot be worshipped or our worship is hindered when there's unresolved conflict in our lives. So what do we do just practically? And we do this over and over and over and over and over. We model the gospel as we seek forgiveness. Always seeking forgiveness. Let's say this together. In fact, I want everyone to say it, but if you're sitting next to your spouse, I want you to turn and look at each other now. Oh, goodness. Here we go. You ready? If it's too difficult, just look straight ahead. It's all right. It'll be all right. So it's just like, you ready? Let's say it together. I'm sorry. Will you? Oh, my God. Now, I would recommend it's like this. I'm sorry for, and say it, and own it, will you forgive me? By the way, what we just said to each other and how that keeps the relationship moving and free-flowing and forgiving one another, and it restores that relationship, that's something that we're to say to God, too, and it builds that relationship. Lord, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Finally, just real practical, I want you to consider and remember the power of gratitude. The power of gratitude in your relationship. Do you know that we say thank you to the kid who takes your $10 at Starbucks? We thank him for taking our money. Here. You might as well take my wallet too. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. No, I'm serious. We're at Harris Teeter. We give him our money. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. Now listen to me. What happens when we get married? Could it be that we have forgotten the power of just being thankful and expressing it and what that does to a relationship? And be thankful. Look at 2 Timothy 3 and 1. Remember, if it's up there, read it with me. Remember, there will be difficult times in marriage. Remember, there will be difficult times in the last days. Paul's telling Timothy, remember this, there's going to be difficult times in the last days. People will be, let's read this together. People will be selfish, greedy, boastful, and conceited. They will be insulting, disobedient to their parents. Say this word. Say it again. That's one of the marks of the end times. Paul told Timothy, remember this, as the end is approaching, people will become ungrateful, irreligious. If it's up there, keep reading with me. Swollen with pride. They will love pleasure rather than God. They will hold to the outward form of religion. Wow. What is this about? Come on. What is this church about? Oh, just some outward. Do the thing, Pastor. No. No. This is not some outward form of religion. But true Christianity and a true relationship with God, there's power in it to breathe life into that which is dead and to change things that we cannot change on ourselves. That's real strength and power in the Lord. Here's the question I want to ask you in your notes. When is the last time you sincerely thanked your spouse? Honey, thank you for that meal. I often say this sometimes. Honey, thank you for that meal. It feels like we're at Lansdowne. How did you do that? We're eating at one of the best restaurants. Honey, thank you for helping provide for the family. Couldn't do this on my own income. And you're out working. And you manage the kids. And it's like you have 6 full-time jobs. How do you do it? Well, let me tell you, sir, how I do it. Honey, that's thank you. Watch what happens when a little thankfulness starts entering into the relationship. And all of a sudden that suffocating feeling begins to open up and I can breathe again. As we're expressing thankfulness. That's that fourth point. Express gratitude and say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's turn our phones off. Can we do that? If you're following along in the app, just put it away. Close your Bible. And let's pray. Can we bow our heads just right now? Healer, come. Lord, I pray. Lord, we pray together. Restore. Heal. Lord, I've given out information. But come, Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that you, Lord, help us. Help it not just to be information today, not just a religious service, but power of God, strength of God, come. Heal our relationships, Lord. Restore our marriages, Lord. Lord, restore relationships even between sons and daughters, Lord, and fathers and daughters and fathers and their sons, and Lord, just across the room, God. Lord, I thank you that you, first and foremost, teach us about relationships. Lord, help us to reflect that. It's in Jesus. Come on, in Jesus' good name we pray. All of us said, come on, all of us said, in agreement together, amen.